Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Ace Atkins, who's out with his brand new Quinn Colson novel. It's the 10th in the series. This one's called The Revelators. It's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Ace, as I read this book, I kept thinking of the scene in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation where Chevy Chase, the Clark Griswold character, is telling his family that he got him a swimming pool, and he keeps saying, "This is the big one, this is the big one." Did you kind of feel that way when you were writing this book?
Well, yeah, I did, and I appreciate you saying that, because that's really, I wanted, you know, to be headed to some kind of end game with the series. And not that the series is over, but I definitely wanted a culmination of the several of the last few books. And so that's really what The Revelators was about. It's kind of the payoff for that long promise. It is hopefully the swimming pool we've been waiting for.
We've seen television shows do this where they get a ways in and then they end up jumping the shark. You know, it started on Happy Days. Yeah. And is that possible to happen in literature too?
I think so. I don't think we're ever going to have, Quinn Colson doing some kind of, water skiing or anything like that. But hopefully, you know, the thing is to keep things kind of fresh and new. And that's the challenge of writing a series, is keeping each one, you know, giving a payoff for your readers, getting your readers to get something that's going to be fun and enjoyable and something they've been expecting, but also keeping things, you know, fresh and alive and changing with the times. You know, things, as your listeners know, things are changing drastically out there. And, you know, keeping up with that is important.
Quinn is still on leave as the sheriff of Tippahaw County. He's got shot at the end of the last book, and we see a real human side of him. What's going on in his life that he's dealing with medically and chemically?
Well, you know, I tried to keep it as realistic as possible, and at the last book, it was a cliffhanger, and it was something where he was shot up by the bad guys, and it was time for, you know, that was really the ending of the last novel. We knew he was coming back. We knew this was going to be a series, and we knew that things are going to have to get better. And so what I try to do with this book is really have it a realistic side of, recovery. And so in this book, he has a slight addiction to some painkillers. He's just trying to get going. He's really trying to get back on his feet. And so throughout this book, it's a struggle for him just to kind of reclaim his place, both physically and emotionally, and that's where we are in The Revelators.
You also bring in a bit of the political side with a raid on a local plant there. Can you kind of explain that?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that, you know, that's happened here in Mississippi. We had several poultry plants were raided. This is national news. Immigrants were rounded up and they were taken to these detention facilities. And it was really something where we had these poultry plant companies that were complicit in the whole thing. They knew that they had been hiring undocumented workers, but when the undocumented workers were complaining about the conditions, as we are seeing right now nationally, that's when the trouble began. So it's really about the corrupt system that's in place here in the Deep South.
We hear about these stories about, you know, a chicken plant or wherever getting raided, and when we hear about them on a national level, we just hear the top of the iceberg that, you know, illegal people are working there. When you're in the middle of it, it's a real human story, and that's where a lot of fiction can fester, right?
Yeah, I mean, I write about, you know, small town life in the Deep South, and so many, this is a side of the Deep South people don't know about. You know, they see it very differently in movies or, you know, their expectations of it. But, you know, a lot of Mississippi is very Hispanic, and in these small communities, a lot of them have been reinvigorated by the Latino population. And these are, you know, helping with the businesses. They are, you know, thriving with the churches, and kids are going to school there. So when they shut down a plant and you get hundreds of workers rounded up, it affects the entire community, and there's a ripple effect. And that's the side that I wanted to write about in The Revelators. It wasn't just an issue of rounding up some faceless people that, you know, got sent off. It was really about how these people disappeared from the entire community, and how does that affect everybody. And some of these small communities now are just struggling to keep the businesses alive that were, you know, populated by these people.
Something else that's going on in the book is, obviously, with Quinn Colson not able to be the sheriff, Brock Tanner, is in there as the interim sheriff. What's that like for Quinn to give up that type of control? You got an Army Ranger that likes to be in control.
I think Quinn, that's really, you've hit the nail on the head with what this book is about Quinn trying to gain control of himself physically and, you know, both professionally. And so it was a chance for me to do something kind of different. I mean, when you have a character who's used to being in charge, there's a lot of things you can do. But for this book, you know, Quinn he's not the sheriff. He's on leave. And so trying to find, you know, a balance, and also knowing that the system that's in place is completely corrupt and rigged, and he may not get a chance to get back in there. And I think it's a lot of frustration. And I think it's a lot of frustration that people are feeling nationally right now, where they feel that, you know, we're living in corrupt times, or we're living in times that we have immoral figures that are running things. And that's what Quinn is trying to get back. He's trying to get back to what I'd say true justice and true true law, and that's the frustration for him in the book, and I think that's what a lot of people are feeling nationally.
Another character, Fanny Hathcock, is back, and she's been such a great character throughout this whole series. But as she's kind of moved into the digital age with her that virtual sex operation, and it's one of these things where most of the time we see these antagonists in the book, they're males, and they're corrupt males. You've had a lot of success with a corrupt female antagonist for Quinn over the years. Where did that idea come from to make her a female?
Well, I think, there's a few reasons for that. I mean, first of all, you know, South is famous for having a lot of very strong women characters, and so the series throughout has been, you know, it's not just the male hero with the gun taking charge. It's really, you know, Quinn is sharing the stage with a lot of very strong women, including his sister, his mother, people that he works with in law enforcement. And so, you know, I would say that it simply is just a, you know, kind of a ripple effect of that, to have somebody on the other side, on the criminal side, you know, also representing that. But however, she really came about from a film called Johnny Guitar. And in that film, there's a character named Vienna, and she is just a ruthless owner of this saloon, this brothel that's in, you know, in the Old West. And I just always loved that film. And I always was thinking about, you know, that character when I created Fanny Hathcock. And again, it goes back to Quinn and the, you know, the influence of the Old West.
The name itself just seems to work so well. And naming characters can either make or break them. So Fanny Hathcock, you just get lucky with that one?
You know, no, I'd like to say I was completely creative with that. And people ask me all that, you know, that all the time about how I came up with that name and how it really works for her. But it really, you know, is not as creative as you might think. There's a woman named Louise Hathcock, who is a owner of a brothel and a corrupt gin joint that was in Tennessee, and famously sparred with Buford Pusser of Walking Tall fame. And so Louise Hathcock is a lot of the DNA in Fanny Hathcock, and so I just simply took her name.
I'm chatting with Ace Atkins about his book, The Revelators. It is the newest in the Quinn Coulson series, number 10 in the series, and it is just one of these watershed books in a series that we've come to know and love over the years. Quinn's sister, Caddy, is in this book, and, you know, she's kind of she's got this one-woman ministry, and as I read about her, I always think of the Neil Diamond song, The Brother Loves Travel and Salvation Show. But how prevalent are these ministries in the South? Because we don't have them up here.
Well, you know, I would like to say that there's a lot of people like Caddy, but, you know, there are people like that. And I didn't want to just, you know, you hear so much about people, the hypocrisy in religion, and you hear so much about people within the South that, you know, are using, you know, faith to justify immoral behavior, and even people that embrace racism and hate, but yet cloak themselves in these Christian beliefs. And Caddy really represents somebody who lives the life and walks the walk. And that's somebody who I wanted to have in the series, is somebody who really is trying to help people, really is trying to do the right thing, really is trying to help the poor, the people who need help. And so that's where she came about. And, you know, I wish there were more people. There are a lot of people like Caddy Coulson down here. There are a lot of people who, you know, dedicate their lives to helping others and do it for the right reason, not to enrich themselves or, you know, political reasons or whatever. You know, I'd like to say that there are more, but sadly there's not enough.
You know, I think we're coming to the end of the cycle as far as books that are written pre-coronavirus. And, you know, thinking of Tippecanoe County after coronavirus, that's got to be a pretty daunting task for somebody that now all of a sudden here's a wrinkle that you're going to have to include, I would think, if you want to make it realistic, unless you start setting books and writing prequels, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just for this series, you know, I write two series. I write for, you know, also write for the Robert Parker Estate and keep Spencer going. Spencer doesn't necessarily exist, what I'd say, in, you know, this exact time. last 5 years. So that's something I don't have to be concerned about. However, Quinn has always been, these books have always been trying to mirror what's going on in society. And, you know, with what's happening in the world with, you know, the rise of hate groups, you know, that's represented in the books with this racist militia, with people battling out with Confederate, you know, ideology and that kind of, you know, craziness. That certainly is represented in the book. So you can bet for the future of Quinn, this is something that we're going to have to address. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm not sure how it's going to play into the story. But I do keep in touch with my buddies who are, you know, sheriffs and deputies here in Mississippi just to see procedurally how they're working in these very unusual times.
You know, you've probably gotten used to being able to just sit down and go with these books, but is this something that is daunting for you as a writer with as much experience that you just don't know how you're going to deal with it?
I think it's more of a, you know, how we're going to deal with it. Personally, the writer part is the easy part. The writer part is something that you can figure out. You know, it's like right now being frustrated with, corruption and this crazy moral compass that's been completely shattered these days. You know, in fiction, we're able to deal with that. And in fiction, we're able to make sense of even the strange times we're living in as far as the virus and how we're going to adjust to that. I think it's much more challenging to do it in our own personal lives. I mean, we're always able to find, hopefully, justice and meaning within fiction, and that's the attraction of fiction. I just hope we can, you know, work this all out in the real world.
This book is dedicated to Charles Portis, the terrific author of True Grit. Why'd you pick him?
Well, Portis is funny. Portis is really on my mind. He passed away this year, and that's right when he passed away. I knew I was going to dedicate the book to him. But his style, his humor, his worldview, his dialogue, everything is something that I just respected a great deal. And he's just one of my literary heroes, and certainly a great, you know, Southern literary hero. And I think there's so much that I've learned from him as a writer. I wanted to pay tribute to him.
And you're in Oxford, Mississippi now. How's the pandemic been treating you there? I mean, writers are reclusive by nature, but it's got to affect you.
It does. You know, we are reclusive by nature. And for me, having to stay at home and not get out of the community and do things has not changed my day-to-day that much. What has changed is, going into town where I have an office, I don't go into the office nearly as much. And it, just seeing the way that's affecting this town, this is a college town, just the businesses along the square and how it's affecting, you know, restaurant owners that are my friends or musicians that can't play gigs. That's where we're seeing the ripple effect. And what we're seeing here in town is people, you know, like we're seeing nationally, not taking it seriously. So we're having half the people realize this is something very serious and to wear a mask and be very careful and use common sense. And then you have people using this to bolster their political, you know, beliefs. And that's where we're having a spike. And that's what's dangerous. And that's, of course, what's concerning everybody.
Well, as so many of us are holed up, it's so great to have fun books to read. And this one is just a fantastic one. The book is The Revelators. It's the newest one from Ace Atkins. It's the Quinn Colson series. Books available now wherever you find books are sold. Ace, just you hit it out of the park with this one. And thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And thanks for the close read.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.